We all know that guy. That extremist. That tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. That guy who believes in UFO cover-ups, government mind control, COVID lab leaks, and Hunter Biden's laptop. And now that we know that all those things are 100% true, maybe you should take that guy's advice. You see, the term conspiracy theory has been used as an insult since the 1800s and popularized by the CIA to convince everyone that you're crazy if you don't trust the CIA's magic bullet theories. Nowadays, nobody trusts the government, and from mind control tech of the 70s to mass media propaganda of today, how even could they? But even if they're not reading our minds, our brains are being bombarded with radiation every day from cell towers, 5G, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. Even if you trust that all of Jeffrey Epstein's friends have your best interest in mind, they don't know the long-term effects of radiation on the brain. But I get it. You don't want to look like this guy. He looks like a homeless meth addict. Thankfully, we live in the future now, and not all technological advancements are evil, because now you can protect your brain while looking instead like this guy. His head is handsomely harbored in Project Tinfoil, the tinfoil hat of the future. He doesn't have to be self-conscious about his psychiatric security. He can confidently take on the world and the Illuminati in style. And when Harp manipulates the weather this winter, his head will be cozy and clear, because Project Tinfoil is lined with a silver mesh that blocks up to 99% of EMF radiation. So whether you're at work or play, keep the lizards away. Project Tinfoil has got you covered. Now, it may not stop CIA mind control, but, you know, you may be wrong about that one, too.
I'm still talking. Can you hear me, aliens? Taxation is that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the ever occasional, constantly inconsistent show on the internet. I can't even say the most uncomfortable show on the internet anymore, because Tower Gang exists, but welcome back to The System Is Down. That's where we are. And there's that. It's been a bit. It's been a long time, especially since we've talked about the news, and this is the version of the show that we do whenever enough news piles up that we have to talk about, and we're going to. And I am joined, as always, by... he may be plus size in years, but... and plus size in heart, but he only gets finer with age. Just a total stud. Just a babe magnet. Dave Casey, how are you?
Dude, I'm doing great. Thanks for that intro.
You're welcome.
Fucking missed you, dude. I missed this show, and I appreciate the invite, and for the passive aggression.
Oh,
thank you.
Anytime. All the time, whether you like it or not. But the fact that you appreciate it is what keeps you coming back, not the large amount of fiat currency that I pay you to be here. But Dave, anything new in the great state of Delaware?
This state is sinking rapidly, but we're enjoying the show, and still LPDE crushing it, man, making those coalitions with the lefties around here, because it's all lefties. Nice. So there's some positive stuff happening when you step outside, but probably darkness in the long run, or the short run, and then we'll maybe hold that remnant light up for these good people. But yeah, man, enjoying ourselves.
Well, good. There's lots of darkness all around, and we're going to talk about all of it today, and we're going to laugh at it and make light of the end of the world together. Dave, would you like to get into it?
Fuck yeah, bro. Let's do it.
Okay. Ready, set, go share it, and let's get weird.
All I ask is, if we have to give these bastards our lives, we give them hell before we do!
The tragedy of our day is the climate of fear in which we live.
Talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing.
I would ask the congressman to withdraw that comment and tell us that he didn't really mean that.
I don't know what I said.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
The Bible commands that certain people be put to death.
These were possessive weapons of mass destruction.
9/11 attacks were carried out by Al Qaeda.
You can't handle the truth.
I remember that we met the most. We are still here.
We have to say yes to the
It's a big club. If you ain't in it.
Today's episode is brought to you by you guys in the Downers Club. People like Ben Weir, Melanie Roberts, Kimberly Owen, Stefan Something, RJ, JC, Silas Lane, Bonnie Jeffers, Amy Lepore, Adam Choit, Leah Ann, Zach Something, Gid Kid, Alex Magoo, Mike Stonehouse, Heflums Woozles, Level Zero, Brian Johnson, Javari, Craig DeCosta, Ryan Mortensen, Derek Evans, Nathan Sipes, Mary Rome, William Wells, and I know there's one person on that list that I have not added to the lineup yet, but she'll be on here soon. But patreon.com/thesystemisdown if you want to get your name on that list and probably have it read in correctly someday. Go on over to patreon.com/thesystemisdown where you'll get more weird, more raw, more offensive, more, you know, semi-weekly content. And yeah, it's the way that keeps the show growing and going and getting bigger and better and more beautiful, allegedly, every single week. Speaking of beauty, let's go back to Dave Casey. Dave.
Good to be here, man. I love that you just had the weekly part of that blurred out. I used to, on my show, and you know, before we get the show started, I would always say, at least for a couple months now, yeah, you can catch me every Wednesday on The System Is Down with that dude, Dan Smuts. I switched it up to, you can catch me, you know, on periodical Wednesdays like. With my casual acquaintance, Dan Smuts.
So I got to step down in my friendship too.
Look, man, friendships require effort. So
friendships are about what you get out of them, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I really do enjoy my time here. So it's cool. It's back off the rocks again. We're friends.
Yeah, yeah. So for the next couple hours, my friend Dave is here to join me. Dave, what's going on with your show? I noticed you had Michael Rechtenwald on recently. You had Toad on and several other candidates for the Libertarian Party.
Somebody had to pick up the slack, bro. That's right. I had a great chat.
But nobody grilled them. Nobody pressed them on any actual questions.
Just, that's the thing. I'm not here to steal your shit. That's your shit. And that's what we do here. In fact, somebody gave me shit today for giving Mike Termott shit. I'm like, haven't you seen any of these shows? But I had a dude. You know, nobody's taken Toad seriously, even though he filed the paperwork. But I had so much fun on that show, just like, you know, laughing my ass off. And I realized I want to do more than that, or more like that. But yeah, just had Rechtenwald on, dude, and Josh the week before that. Mm-hmm. And next week we got a couple people from Delaware, a couple podcasters, and a local DJ here is coming on, and the chair of the Libertarian Party of Delaware. So we're going to talk about local shit. Hashtag First State Project.
Nice. Speaking of state projects and libertarian stuff, we have a fun after party planned for you guys. And if you go to patreon.com/thesystemisdown, you will be able to join the Downers Club and get the after party immediately following the show, where we will be talking about the Free States trial of Jeremy Kaufman and lots of liberty drama there. It's not for everybody, but those that it is for, they must pay. So go support the show and listen to us bitch about people on both sides that we love very much and wish would shut the fuck up sometimes. But more, that's just a sneak peek of things to come. Now we have to talk about actual news in the real world, the real important things. Dave, something has been brought to my attention over the last 24 hours or so, actually. I didn't realize that we were neglecting Pride Month. Now, there's nothing funny about this. This is not a funny story. There will be no laughs. No joy, actually. Just to be safe. There will be no joy, no humor, nothing. Completely straight-faced. Dave, did you know that it's Pride Month?
It's actually LGBTQIA plus History Month, bro. You would have maybe. Yeah. We already did Pride Month. So the moral of the story is you need to dedicate 1/6 of your year to the LGBTQIA plus community.
At least. I mean, that's a...
I don't think that's
asking that much.
You know, for 5% of the population or so, I feel like this is a pretty good use of time.
I would say so. Yes. Now, so the no laughter. There it is, as Dave mentioned, the 2S LGBTQ plus history month. And I didn't realize it. It's probably because I'm a bigot, but I didn't even realize it. Didn't even come to my attention until it was trending on Twitter, which I would imagine is probably where the entire thing started. But it is very important that we acknowledge all days of importance, all months, all years to the oppressed minority. So March, just to be safe, for everyone's sake, we're going to read all of the very serious dates that we need to put on our calendars immediately and begin to acknowledge. Dave, stop laughing. It's not funny.
Sorry about
January
that.
29th is National Day of Transgender Visibility in Brazil. February is LGBTQ History Month in Britain. March is Bisexual Awareness Month. The first is Zero Discrimination Day, and 31st is Trans Day of Visibility. April 6th is International Asexual Day. The second Wednesday is International Day of Pink. The second Friday is Day of Silence to end the silencing effect of anti-LGBT bias. The 26th of April is Lesbian Visibility Day. Lesbians, we see you. May is Queer Month in Germany. The 17th of May, Dave?
I'm very sorry. Queer.
May 17th is International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, Biphobia. The 19th of May is Agender Pride Day.
Nobody has biphobia. Everybody's cool with biphobia. Sorry.
The 19th is Agender Pride Day. The 22nd is Irish Marriage Referendum Commemoration Day. The 22nd is Harvey
How'd
Milk Day.
How'd that get in there?
I don't know. The 24th of May is Pansexual and Pan-Romantic Awareness Day. June is just Pride Month, the first one. The 5th, Aromantic Visibility Day. The 5th is HIV Long-Term Survivors Awareness Day. So that's fun. It's a real fun one to celebrate with your family. The 12th is Pulse Nightclub Night of Remembrance.
Fuck.
The second
Sorry.
Week.
It was a horrible day.
Week, the second week of June is Schools Pride Week. The 28th of June is Stonewall Riots Remembrance Day. July 9th is Lesbian Awareness Day again, but this time in Chile. The 16th is Drag Day. Week 14, Non-Binary Awareness Day. The 14th is Non-Binary People's Day. August is Transgender History Month. August was I don't even think we acknowledged that at the time, and I apologize to everyone. Transgender History Month in August, the last Friday of the month, we wear purple, apparently. The 29th is Lesbian Visibility Day because the lesbians just are still not seen with their third visibility day. September 16th is Bisexual Awareness Day. The 23rd is Celebrate Bisexuality Day. October, finally, we made it to 2S LGBTQI plus History Month. The 8th is Lesbian Day because... Again, lesbians.
They're the best, actually. The lesbians are the best out of the whole group.
They're crushing it with the days. Yeah. They're all over the place. The 17th is Gender Fluid Visibility Day. The third Thursday of the month is Spirit Day because that's where we're at. The last month of the week is ACE Week to promote awareness of those on the asexual spectrum. There's a spectrum of asexuality. I did not know. I thought it was just, you know, you didn't. The 21st is Pronouns Day.
Wow.
The 26th is Intersex Awareness Day. November is Trans Awareness Month. Didn't we do this already? August was Transgender History Month, but apparently November is Trans Awareness Month. Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay, no, wait. It's the trans get their own month, and they're co-opting the LGBTQI plus month? I think that's fucked.
Underrepresented, I would say. Mm-hmm. Trans Awareness Month is November. The first Sunday of the month is Trans Parents Day. The 8th is Intersex Day of Remembrance. The 13th is Trans Awareness Day. The 20th is Trans Awareness. Or no, the 13th is Trans Awareness Week, and the 20th is Trans Awareness Day. And then in December,
Christmas?
The second. It's pretty gay. in December, the second Friday of the month is Purple Friday in the Netherlands. So I don't think that's asking. I don't think it's asking too much.
It was a
for us all to just, you know, be respectful
for the year.
The entire year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so many contradictions in there, like bisexual appreciation week or month or whatever they had. It's like they're not even taking into consideration the genders.
A lot of them is just like you've got lesbian visibility day. And then it's just like they took those
show
three
me
words
some lesbian.
And switched them around three times. And then it's like it's another day for lesbians.
Lesbians don't get enough.
Definitely.
They get too much grief these days, you know?
It's super oppressed, those lesbians. But the fact that there's so many lesbian days leads me to believe that it was made by straight guys who were just like, yeah, more lesbian days, bro. Put another lesbian day in there, see if anybody will notice.
Right. The more lesbian days, less sodomites. We'll just have some scissor kicking.
Oh, dear. All right. Moving on to much more serious matters, if it is even possible. I would like us all to take a brief moment, just a brief moment of silence for the late and great Senator Dianne Feinstein, who died at the age of 90 this week. Now, the GOP debate also happened this week, and we're going to talk about that. Or it happened last week, just a week ago today. Dave, did you happen to catch the GOP debate, the second one?
No, just some clips of this. I tuned in and it was bunch of people talking over people. And I was just like, this is bad. Bad for
yeah,
my soul.
It was like, it kept going back and forth between abysmally boring and just shouting nonsense over top of each other. And no moderators stopping it or cutting mics or anything. Just like Lord of the Flies, but with adults in positions of power. Elitist adults. Now, This is a clip where they asked Vivek, which first I want to make a comment about Vivek in general. Vivek crushed the last debate because he was like calling everybody like bought and paid for shills and whatever. He was like, everybody else on the stage is bought and paid for. And, you know, there are certainly arguments to be made that Vivek could very well be bought and paid for as well. So whatever. But he did very well in the last debate. This one, he took a bit of a different approach, which is odd. And we'll get to it in this clip. But this clip is the moderator asked him, you've spoken out against TikTok or whatever. Now, you recently met with boxer and whatever commentator Logan Paul and then started a TikTok right after. Please elaborate on that. So this clip doesn't have the question in it. So that's the preface here. And here's Vivek's answer, which I have thoughts about, but even more so Nikki Haley's response to it. But this little clip here, this 2 minute and 20 second clip, is a good representation of the entirety of this whole debate. Just a nonsensical clusterfuck. So
very clear. Kids under the age of social, under the age of 16, should not be using addictive social media. We're only going to ever get to declaring independence from China, which I favor, if we actually win. So while the Democrats are running rampant, reaching the next generation 3-1, there's exactly one person in the Republican Party which talks a big game about reaching young people, and that's me. And
which talks a big game about reaching young people. So are you reaching young people or are you talking a big game about reaching young people? Those are two different things, Vivek, but sure.
With all of you, I'm the new guy here. And so I know I have to earn your trust. What do you see? You see a young man who's in a bit of a hurry, maybe a little ambitious, bit of a know-it-all, it seems at times. I'm here to tell you, no, I don't
this
know
is
it all.
So good.
I don't know. I find it kind of cringe.
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't mean he's. I'm enjoying it is what I meant.
Yeah.
And he's obviously so well rehearsed, but yeah, I think that the moment is lost on him. Like he might not understand, like the focus group that said that this would go over well.
Right.
Didn't understand.
Yeah.
What they were doing.
I understand, boomers. You don't understand. You don't, you're scared by the young brown man who talks a lot. I get that, boomers.
Seems like know that's it what all. This feels smarty like. Smarty pants Indian guy. Right. I get it. That is who right. I am.
May right. seem like a bit of a genius, a savant, a young prodigy, the next... like, shut the fuck up, dude. Just say the thing.
Listen, right. I will have the best people, the best and brightest in this country, whatever age they are, advising me. We will be probably many of the people on this stage included. That's how I built my companies. I want to be challenged. I want people.
So he went from last debate saying everybody on this stage is bought and paid for shills to I'm going to get the smartest, the brightest, whatever. Some of them probably even on this stage. Like, he's really, he's kind of getting a little pandery, which is not a good look for him, because the only thing he had going for him last time was that he was willing to call out the other people on the stage for being bought and paid for as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who disagree with me. That's what makes America great, because we're not a...
By the way, this is still about TikTok somehow, and we'll get back to that in a second.
Perfect nation. We're founded on the pursuit of perfection. That is what makes America great. And that is why we will end it once we win this election.
I have to jump. I have to jump in here. I'm sorry.
I have to.
I have no choice. I have to.
I can't stop myself.
It's one of the most dangerous.
I also noticed that Nikki Haley is the only person who was able to just jump in, and they let her roll with it. So I feel like they're really propping her up.
Social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. Because I can't believe that here we've got a TikTok situation. What they're doing is these 150 million people are on TikTok. That means they can get your contacts.
He just said that he would outlaw TikTok for people under 16. And she immediately goes to, you're stupid because TikTok is bad. It's like,
bro, can you imagine if he said to Nikki Haley, every time you open your hole, I feel stupider?
No shit.
Like, wow.
Yeah, it would make more sense.
Get your financial information. They can get your emails. They can text messages. They can get all of these things.
This is very important for our party.
Exactly what they're doing.
This is very important for our party, and I'm going to say,
you've gone and you've helped China build, make medicines in China, not America. You're now wanting kids to go and get on the social media that's dangerous for all of us. You went and you were in business with the Chinese that gave Hunter Biden $5 million. We can't trust you. We can't trust you. We can't have
Talking point.
And he's doing the same thing. He's like, I just have to say, and this is a very, like, if you're going to jump back in, dude, you don't get to, like, build up to it. You just get in there or don't. But it's not great.
Swami, you have 15 seconds.
I think, excuse me.
You have 15 seconds, Mr. Ramaswamy.
Thank you. I think we would be better served as a Republican Party if we're not sitting here hurling personal insults and actually have...
Wrong, dumb guy, big hair. Yeah,
what's he pulling in, like 5%? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Vivek was going for, like, basically Trump light last time, like propping up Trump and not afraid to call people dumb or whatever, not dumb, but, you know, not afraid to call people out. And now he's kind of fallen back on that, and it doesn't really work. And to say that we're too big to be the party of insults, like, buddy, like, your guy, your homie, the guy who's currently beating you without even trying, is winning because of personal insults. Like, that's his whole thing. So I'm not sure which reality you're living in. But Trump had some speech that he gave at the same time as this. It wasn't nearly as interesting as the last one with Tucker. And Gavin Newsom did have some fun comments on this debate, basically just saying that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of resources and people's money, which he's not wrong. He said it was a vice presidential debate at best, and he was absolutely right. It was that. None of these people are going to beat Trump, no matter how little he tries. What do you think, Dave?
I think that Gavin Newsom is on point. He's, you know, like, how to lie with statistics, right? Like, he's not being honest, but he's kind of giving you a little nugget of truth there. I think that everybody on that stage is Fox News approved, except Vivek Ramaswamy, who is Trump approved. Like, I think that those guys are working together, and he is playing the role of attack dog for Trump and kind of carrying the MAGA flag, for him. And I think that Fox News and the rhino neocon right has ordained DeSantis and Nikki Haley to be the neocon crusaders, the UN-approved, WEF-approved leadership. And that's why their Fox News is like, do you guys want to see a Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis debate? Because that's who we've selected for you.
So weird.
It is really bizarre.
And even Gavin Newsom came out and said something about that debate between the two of them that set up. He's like, why is a guy who's running for president agreeing to debate me? Even like it's kind of brilliant because Gavin Newsom kind of puts himself down and he's like, why would he debate just a lowly governor? Which is like the best burn on Ron DeSantis going into that, because Gavin Newsom has nothing to lose. And Ron DeSantis just looks like a I don't know, a bitch by debating somebody that you're not running against in any way. Like, why would Gavin Newsom should be beneath you?
Maybe they're giving it away, dude. Cernovich tweeted a couple weeks ago. He's like, don't underestimate Gavin Newsom. Like, he's a handsome guy. Like, he looks like a fucking serial killer. But white women across the country will want to fuck Gavin Newsom. You know what I mean? So don't underestimate that, because that little wiggle room of like, you know, when Bill Clinton put on the glasses and played the saxophone, it's like, that shit works, man. You're a propagandist. You understand this stuff.
Yeah.
So if it's true, Bill Maher is like, you know, a liberal progressive thought leader. He is going on the like, yo, thanks Biden for your time, but you cannot be the guy because you'll lose. So if they're thinking about shifting him out at some point, then that could very well be the guy who would definitely pick a black woman for his running mate, probably Michelle Obama.
Oh,
maybe
shit.
Woman, right?
Yeah.
That could be, like, I think that might be the surprise coming. I don't think, if they want to win, if that's part of it, like, I don't think they're going to run Biden again. I don't think that they can do that.
Do you think that's why they're not telling us that Michelle Obama is a man? Is it because they still want to have a female in that position with Gavin Newsom?
Dude, I'll listen to any conspiracy theory.
Just but Joan Rivers.
I think that that's a woman and that never did give birth to those kids, but I think it's a woman to lay cover, like to muddy the waters of the real conspiracy theory that Barack Obama is a gay man who sucked Larry Sinclair's dick in the back of a limo smoking crack in the 90s. So if you
run
just
a bit
throw
of a side
all,
tangent here, but speaking
well, I'm
of,
just saying, this is all current news.
Yeah.
We've been gone for a little bit. But
speaking of gay prostitutes, we do have to get back to the GOP debate for a minute and talk about Chris Christie and Mike Pence. And I noticed that everybody is calling out Donald Trump a lot more than they were before, like, which I do think Trump not being there is not. I think he should show up to the next one. I think it's in Miami. So like right in his home. It would be, he doesn't need to, but I think it would be awesome just like for him to walk
in
last
the audience like one of Bill Clinton's victims.
That would be great. Just staring him down. But yeah, I don't know, it's interesting. Like they asked like who should be voted off the island or whatever, and Chris Christie was like, Donald Trump definitely should for not being here, and Ron DeSantis said Donald Trump should definitely for not being here. They're not wrong. He doesn't have a reason to be there necessarily, but I do think it is kind of a shit move to I understand why he's doing it, because he doesn't have to be there to still take the lead. He doesn't even have to try. But I do think it's kind of, just for my own personal enjoyment, I do think it's kind of shitty that he's not going to be there for any of them, because he has said apparently that he's not going to be there for the next one either, even though it's in Miami. And I think that that's a mistake. I think if he waits until the last one, it would be great to watch him just come in and mop the floor up with them. Not a Donald Trump fan, as you know, but these people are just awful. And if we're going to make it a shit show like the last one was, at least make it an interesting shit show, because that's my biggest complaint about the last one. I don't care if it's garbage, as long as it's entertaining garbage. Just wow me with your nonsense. Any thoughts, Steve?
So if this is all professional wrestling, right, which we at least have to keep that on the table, right? Donald Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly a possibility.
And I noticed, man, when you hear Donald Trump, he was interviewed, I don't know if it was Hannity or somebody interviewing him. Donald Trump has a name for everybody. Sleepy Jeb or whatever, Crooked Hillary, all the shit. You know what he calls Gavin Newsom? Gavin.
Mm.
They have a lot in common, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean? They have the same type of soul. I'll say whatever it takes to sell this shit. I'll smile through my teeth. Just tell me what to fucking say, because that's what I do.
Right.
And I, you know, if Donald Trump is a progressive from New York, that's a progressive from California. And this might be how you do it. I don't know. I don't know what the end game is, but just some suspicion there.
Yeah.
Might be in cahoots. More cahoots.
Of course, there's always shady business dealings and shady tactics in the politics, like pulling fire alarms, like Rep. Jamal Bowman did. He was punished after he triggered a fire alarm on Saturday. Did you hear about this one, Dave?
I did.
It's a good one. Now, he so they were supposed to be voting on something. Some of these next few stories we're going to breeze through pretty quickly because we went longer on the stupid GOP debate than I intended to, but and longer than it was justified doing. But Jamal Bowman, there was a vote going on, and he pulled a fire alarm, and it's illegal for him to do that. Now he's in trouble, and his excuse is this. He says, "I'm embarrassed to admit that I activated the fire alarm mistakenly, thinking it would open the door," he said. "I regret this and sincerely apologize for any confusion this caused." So what the crazy conspiracy theorists on the right are saying is that this man pulled the fire alarm with the intention of stalling the vote and delaying the vote. Mm-hmm. What Jamal is saying is, no, I'm just retarded.
This is the trick. Government is not evil, right? It's just, they're just some bumbling idiots.
The greatest trick the government ever pulled is convincing you that they are retarded and not evil. Good
Please
job, Jamal.
Put that on a shirt, please.
Yes. Awesome. Jamal Bowman's office also put out a memo that called the Republicans Nazis, which Jamal immediately said, "Whoops. We didn't mean to do that either, because we're just retarded." He says, okay, so among other points, the memo suggested Bowman's allies expressed something like, "I quote, I believe Congressman Bowman when he says this was an accident. Republicans need to instead focus their energy on the Nazi members of their party before anything else."
Wow.
Yeah.
He went hard he went hard at Massey, right after January 6th, this guy was given a diatribe, like in the halls of Congress, yelling and screaming about shit. Oh man. Yep. And then, turns around to be this is his character.
Yep. And then Jamal responded to that by saying, "I just became aware that in our messaging guidance, there was inappropriate use of the term Nazi without my consent."
I'm sorry.
So this guy's just fucking up all over the place. And I don't know. Are you buying his very sound argument that he is actually an idiot and not, trying to delay votes? He said that he actually did it because he was in a hurry. Because he really wanted to get there to vote. He not only wasn't delaying the vote, he was trying to hurry so that the vote could happen. And so he pulled the fire alarm thinking that it would open the door, because as we all know, sometimes fire alarms are the only way to get doors open.
Bro, I think he's probably like Donald Trump and like Gavin Newsom in that he'll just tell me what my role is. Because right. I have a hard time believing that he just decided to do that on his own.
Yeah.
He was probably... You know, a group of people were like, "Yo, you need to go fucking do this," and you know, nobody got you or whatever. And you got to be an idiot. Yeah. He's probably
so it's a combination of both.
Mix. Yes, right. I think at the lower level, yes, it's you're willing to do the evil deeds of evil people because you're fucking retarded.
Now, I should have mentioned a long time ago, if you guys have anything that you want us to read, any comments, any super chats, we are not allowed to take super chats because YouTube hates you and hates me and they hate everyone here. Yet we use their platform. You have to put in all caps "fake super chat" and then I will try to read it, and it's free because I love you, unlike YouTube. But put it in all caps and we will try to get to them at some point in the show. Now, speaking of Nazis like the Republican Party, Canada gave a standing ovation to a brave Ukrainian soldier this week.
Zelensky's speech received at least a dozen standing ovations. There was also one for this man, a 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians during the Second World War.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. just touching and heartwarming to see a Ukrainian soldier from way, way back, when, be given his due. Now, the Canadian House Speaker... shortly after resigned over inviting a man who fought for a Nazi unit to Parliament, just happens to be the same guy, actually. They did absolutely zero looking into this man's history, but we'll read a bit from AP News. The Speaker of Canada's House of Commons, resigned Tuesday for inviting a man who fought for a Nazi military unit during World War II to Parliament to attend a speech by the Ukrainian president, just after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky delivered an address in the House of Commons on Friday. Canadian lawmaker gave 98-year-old Yaroslav Honka, I'm sure I'm nailing that pronunciation, a standing ovation when Speaker Anthony Rota drew attention to him. Rota introduced Honka as a war hero who fought for the 1st Ukrainian Division. Observers over the weekend began to publicize the fact that the 1st Ukrainian Division also was known as the Waffen-SS Galicia Division, I don't know, or the SS 14th Waffen-Waffen, how do you pronounce that, Division, I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Waffen-Waffen.
Okay, perfect. A voluntary unit that was under the command of the Nazis. So,
Nazi fags.
Canada's favorite Ukrainian also happens to be their favorite Nazi. You got any thoughts on that, Dave?
Say that last sentence that you said. Canadians, what?
Canadians' favorite Ukrainian also happens to be their favorite Nazi.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
Was he one of the good Nazis or one of the bad ones? That's what I need to know.
Oh, that's a loaded question there, Dave.
let's. Oh man, I love this. This is the last question that I asked Rec when he came on the show. Was, yo man, I've kind of been in this world for two decades now, pretty much going on that. Mm-hmm. Why do all signs point to at the end of the road just leads to Nazi occultists? Why is that always the last thing I can get to?
What did he say?
Yeah, you have to watch the episode, bro.
I did, but I fell asleep because it was Michael Reichenwald.
No, I think he's... Yeah, he kept it pretty real. He's spoken on that before. But, I mean, yeah, the Nazis were occultists. You guys have seen Captain America, right? The story of the Red Skull and stuff and the Nazis and all that shit. I think that is, I don't know. Klaus, who's above that? BlackRock? Yeah. Okay, who's above that? It could be Satan. I don't know. But this is great. I take great joy in this, in them. Because I think, again, that the Canadian Parliament is probably filled with a bunch of just people who will say whatever it takes, non-impressive people who are controlled by people who are evil and have evil intent. But I am really surprised how long, they're literal fucking Nazis, historical Nazis.
Yeah.
And it's still, you can't talk about, you can't show a swastika online, but
stuff. There's one in this episode.
Okay. So I guess you can get away with it. But Kanye couldn't even get away with a fake one, but without getting banned. Which I just, it's pretty amazing, man. You got to be the right kind of Nazi, I guess, to get away with this stuff.
What's that supposed to mean?
It depends who you're working for. But look, this is another
are you saying that I'm controlled?
I know you're legit. No, if you're a Ukrainian Nazi, it's cool. If you're a German Nazi, it's not. Is that pretty much clear at this point? Our regime is pro-Ukrainian Nazi.
Oh, Dave, you'll get a kick out of this fake super chat. Hector Roos says, fake super chat, none of you ever complain about Mike Termont not having enough energy.
Look,
I think you're
going to
have
energy.
To check your facts on that one. But
he's very excited about himself, and he seems, amped up to talk about the Gold New Deal. It's just that he's a cop.
Yeah. So I mean, I've got issues with everybody, but it's all good. It's all good.
I can't wait to grill them all, bro. Bring them all.
Now back to Canada's favorite Nazi. You'll be happy to know that everybody, all's well now. The speaker left. Speaker's out. He resigned, and he was immediately replaced by the first Black House Speaker. So
thank God.
That's good.
Progress.
That's good. Well,
see, they probably set that guy up, bro. That's how they do it. When you muscle out a CEO. If you can't do it through democracy or votes or the board or whatever. He's got, years left in his term. It's like, well, this is what you do.
Right.
You make him look really stupid and make him resign or something. Brilliant.
Yep. And of course, the most important thing about the next one is that he's Black. Unfortunate that he's not a woman, but, there's still time. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Speaking of speakers of the House, did you hear about ours, Dave?
I did. Let me get out my handkerchief, my Ukraine hanky to wipe a tear away.
I need to have some sad music that we can play for moments like this. at the ready. Let me see if I have anything in here. I've got a Glockenspiel. I'm not sure if that helps.
You're fucking gone.
I love democracy.
I think that's pretty fitting, too. Now, cool. So Kevin McCarthy ousted as House Speaker. Dave, I don't know that much about this guy. Do you? I know that, they said he's doing backroom deals with the Democrats and all these things. I don't know. I don't know that much about the deets. Do you got any?
I don't know much about this guy either, bro, but I get from what I know about him, he seems like he's, for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, I think it has to, he's a handsome guy, right? Nice jawline. He looks like a politician, came out of the same factory that Mitt Romney came out of.
Of course.
Like, so he checks off some boxes for these people, but at the end of the day, he seems like he is a servant of the regime. And he will, again, like the rest of the people who excel in government, will say what it takes. Just tell me what to say. That's what I'm fucking saying, and I'll sell it to my people. That's the function of these guys.
A mouthpiece.
So
very much a mouthpiece from what I've seen. It was Matt Gaetz that was pushing for this ousting, and yesterday it happened, and now we are without a House Speaker. So I don't know if you've felt the impact so far, but it goes deep. Everybody's freaking out. You know,
government will probably shut down any day.
Gasp. God forbid.
Yeah.
We know, every time the government shuts down, we are just in a state of chaos and calamity. And we can't have that because they do a great job. And we all feel the impact when they're not doing their very good job. So here is a little bit of Matt Gaetz screaming about donors.
And when it comes to how those raise money, I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, boo all you want, who have
bought
this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations.
I hate people who are against lobbying and giant donors. Like, way to show your hand, guys. Like, just straight up boo. Such an obvious, what they're not even pretending like they're not taking all this, like, these backroom deals and shit anymore. They're like, boo, fuck you, dude. That's our money.
Yeah, we need money. Yeah, exactly. Fucking with my game, son.
Yep.
Happy to fund my political operation through the work of hardworking Americans, $10 and $20 and $30 at a time. And you all keep showing up at the lobbyist fundraisers and see how that goes for you. I reserve.
I just went from 6 to midnight, bro. Awesome.
Yep.
This motherfucker spitting. I love it.
Yeah, there's, and
he could be playing politics too. I'm sure he is, because he knows he's not going to get donor dollars. Military industrial complex ain't coming to give him money after he just fucked the money laundering operation up for at least a temporary, they're going to be in hiatus, right? So he, of course, if you got to pander to the people who send 20 and 30 bucks to make sure you keep your role and be very public about it. I think this guy understands social media and that stuff. So honestly, I don't care if his interests are self-interests. Preserve yourself, dude. And keep saying shit like that.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know who Tim Burchett is, and I don't know if we need to watch this whole thing, but he is talking about his good friend Kevin McCarthy going out and why he voted for the removal as well. And just another tick.
Hey everybody, Tim Burchett. Today will be a vote on motion to vacate the chair.
I'm prejudging him.
Speakership. And my thought process is like this. Kevin McCarthy's my friend, and I hate to lose him as a friend, but I had a choice between that and my conscience, and what my conscience tells me to do. My conscience tells me that we're $33 trillion in debt. We took off the whole month of August knowing that September was going to come around. Thus, every year, the end of our budgetary year, fiscal year, and there's no urgency. And then we just do a continued resolution, kicking the can 45 days down the road, and then that will be right up against the Thanksgiving holiday.
So he goes on to warn about, the coming collapse. See, I mean, he hints at it. He doesn't quite say that, but he's like, we're it's getting real bad, you guys. Maybe we should, I don't know, take votes and stuff and get something done. And yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting to see, like, even some people who are really friendly to Kevin McCarthy being like, well, it's pretty bad, you guys. So yeah, take that how you want. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just... That caught me in the beginning. Like, my friend Kevin McCarthy, I wish I could support his money laundering operations.
Right.
He is my friend, but right. I can't. I believe too much in this country. Again, this guy's probably just playing his own game. He knows where public opinion is, and it's that this guy's not popular, and I'm here to preserve myself and my political career. So
could be.
Tell me what to say, baby. I'll say whatever it takes, you know?
I didn't take it as much as that, as, you know, people that even some of the lesser higher ups in elitism are starting to be like, this is looking not good, you guys, and maybe we should, you know, actually take some steps toward doing something about it. But I don't know. I don't trust any of them, so who knows?
Well, that's what I mean. I think that if popular opinion was send more money to Ukraine, that guy would have had a different tune. But yeah. Since he's probably got, you know, whatever public opinion polls he's paying attention to and whatever the votes are going to be in the House and shit, I think it's about mostly about self-preservation and your own self-interests. That's how people vote usually. Regular voters, politicians, you know, like, wasn't it for me, man? Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to probably have his cake and eat it too. Yeah, it's my friend, but you're fired.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Matthew Butts says, fake super chat. I'm disappointed in Massey. I heard that Massey had a shit take on this, but I am not familiar. Did you see it?
Yeah, I think that he voted to keep McCarthy. So from what I can tell, like, if Massey fucks up, it's usually on like a personal level. Like, he'll support a guy that sucks. Like, he's usually right on policy, and he's heroic when he brings up, you know, his own bills or his own continuing resolutions and shit. But sometimes, yeah, he makes bad judgments, I think, maybe on people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about it, but yeah.
I don't mean to sound like an ingrate.
Admittedly, I don't know that much about McCarthy. But anybody who wants to go down, I'm down. There's something to the evil, you know. It could get worse. It could get better. We don't really know. But if he was bad, which if he's in that position, he's probably bad. So take him out and put another person in there. We can take them out too. Just keep going around. Keep the whole thing shut down for a while and see how much worse life gets, for real. Now I have another clip here. What is it? Oh, it's so we don't have to play that clip, but Matt Gaetz and several other people have formally nominated President Donald Trump to be the new Speaker of the House, which, God, I love the timeline that we're living in.
Matt Gaetz did that? He nominated him?
That's I believe that is what this is. And it's from Matt Gaetz, so I would imagine that's what it is. He says, I'm formally nominating President Donald J. Trump for Speaker of the House. It's like a 4-minute clip, so we're not going to watch it. But yeah, he nominated him officially. And now, sadly, though, Donald Trump has responded.
Did you take the job?
A lot of people have asked me about it. I'm focused. You know, we're leading. I don't know you. I'm sure you don't read too much in the papers. But we're leading by like 50 points for president. You know, my focus is totally on that. If I can help them during the process, I would do it. But we have some great people in the Republican Party. I'll do whatever it is to help, but my focus, my total focus, is being president and, quite honestly, making America great again, because we are living in a country in decline.
All right, shut up. Now, he also said, there was a quote of his on Truth, if I can find it here, about them going after McCarthy. And he didn't seem all that enthused about it, even. He said, why is it that Republicans are always fighting among themselves? Why aren't they fighting the radical left Democrats who are destroying our country? So almost chastising them for the removal of McCarthy, which seems oddly, you know, predictable at this point. Because Donald Trump has a lot of shit takes, it seems like, when it comes to elitist friends in places of high power. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, bro. I think that maybe Lindsey Graham made this tweet for him or this truth for him. He does. He's still, this is the problem with Trump, is that he's either lying to everybody because he's truly
just a corporatist,
controlled
evil
or retarded.
Human being.
Yeah,
controlled or retarded, just like them all, dude. Controlled or retarded, and yeah, that's awful. Like, you obviously, who's he talking about when he talks about the radical left in right. Congress? These are corporatists just like you. So if you're talking about the squad, those four bitches that fucking, you know, just like Matt Gaetz and a couple of these other guys, they understand how social media works. But it's like, there's no, this is not the radical left. Nancy Pelosi was not the radical left. This is stupid. The chick who just died. Feinstein was not the radical left.
Yeah.
Okay. Pure corporatism. So Donald Trump either gets that and deflects. Oh, unity amongst these people. No, fuck that, man. Even if Matt Gaetz and these guys are all a limited hangout, like, I don't care. Say the right things.
Yeah.
Say the right things and do the right shit. I'm all about new fault lines in Congress and wherever else. Like, say the right shit, see where the chips may lie. And if you lose an election, you know, like, I don't know, whatever. I don't care.
Then you probably suck. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. All in all, as I've said or alluded to many times, this doesn't really affect much of anything, but it is entertaining. First time in history. Let's keep going. Let's keep shaking stuff up. And I mean, we've got the Tim Pools of the world saying that everything is the next Civil War. He might be right, and this might push closer to that, but if you suck, you suck, and you deserve to go. So, hey, whoever does it, don't care if I agree with Matt Gaetz on things, but I agree with him on, you know, removing another, you know, big
turd.
I can't
remember. Somebody said on Twitter, was like, the establishment doesn't want you excited about politics. They would rather you just go back to not even watching. So I have to believe that this is not what they want, for all eyes to be on the House and, you know, taking a guy down. I want to believe that this is not, you know, maybe somebody's trying to actually change some shit.
Yeah.
That would be neat. So
trust the
I like
plan,
when
bro.
People are engaged.
Trust the plan.
Yeah, right. That's it.
All right, we're going to take a few super fake super chats before we jump into a short break momentarily. And the first one is from White Graper, who says, Jews brag about their powers and their influence, but I'm a bad person for saying the same. Yes.
Answered.
No comment. Especially not on YouTube. Definitely not. Not a guy who doesn't catch fish says fake super chat. FSP gay? FSP dot 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 gay?
Super gay.
You got to join the Patreon to hear my thoughts on the FSP situation, because that is coming up after this episode. So patreon.com/thesystemisdown. Get in there. We're going to talk about the Jeremy trial soon.
Send Dan $5 right now. Get
That's
in
right.
there.
That's right. Grumpy Gnome says, fake super chat. Does anyone have the urge to eat brains yet, or is it just me? I think with that, he's referring to this brainwashing thing that happened. Did you catch it, Dave?
I've only seen people like alluding to this, but I don't know the story.
Oh, there was an emergency thing. Did you get it on your phone? It was at like 1:20 here.
Yes.
Be 2:20.
I hate that
there.
We all get that shit. Was it you two again? Those motherfuckers.
It was... I saw it a couple places, people saying, oh, this is coming, and like the conspiracy people, which we are, saying, oh, this is going to be some sort of, I don't know, brainwashing thing or something. And oddly, I did see a Reuters article earlier that was talking about Russia also doing an emergency thing, warning thing today. So it is suspicious.
Lockstep. I like it.
Yeah. Certainly suspicious, but I don't know enough about it, and I have always had the urge to eat brains, so nothing has changed, doesn't prove anything. You know, correlation does not equal causation. Hector Roos says, Nazis didn't lose World War II.
Hmm.
Thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, this is something I was just thinking about earlier in the show, and I kind of forgot about it. But yeah, I think that it's blue-pilled to think, oh, well, the Soviet Union fell, so... the ideology of communism stopped.
Right.
So you won, and now you don't have to worry about it. Like, that's how you would think if you're blue-pilled. But, of course, and you could say the same thing about Nazis. I mean, forget the fact that, yeah, we literally shipped hundreds of them over here to, like, set up...
to run NASA.
You know, to run NASA and other things and put them in... Yeah, exactly. And
with this guy who's in Canada now. I'm like, yeah, man, if I was a Nazi, I would go to Canada. Why would they? I bet the Argentina thing was just all made up bullshit because they went to the whitest country they could find and just be white people to live out their lives. They're probably all in Canada.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it's silly to think, yo, you beat a regime, so the ideology is therefore defeated. Of course, that lives on and in the shadows and grows uglier and bigger. And now you got this.
And more Ukrainian than ever.
Yeah, bro. Crazy.
Yes. Joey Tugans.
So Hector is right. Yes, absolutely.
Right on. Joey Tugans says, fake super chat. I just might nominate Dave, MF, and Casey because none of the current runners are worth my vote. Now, Dave.
Yeah.
If you had to pick, gun to your head, you running for president or Joe Exotic?
Oh, me. I'm way better.
You would rather put yourself in that position than allow Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. I want you to make an ad for me.
I'm definitely down with that. Cool. Might end up making some RFK ads, which is what we're going to talk about soon.
Wow.
I'm not actually. That's not even been discussed. Like, I'm not talking to them. I'm just saying there's some rumors about certain parties that we're going to get to shortly. But a few more fake super chats. Matthew Butts says, fake super chat. I'm disappointed in Massey. Thank you for that. Travis Bost says, he said it's going to backfire and we'll get something worse. Who did? I don't know.
I think Massey did, I believe.
Ah, okay. I mean, that's certainly always a possibility, but...
always in the guards. You're right.
Yeah. But, you know, when they're bad, ship them out and... I mean, what? We keep around shitty... Like, if you can get rid of a shitty politician, you keep them around because it could possibly get worse? I don't know. I mean, I could see the argument on both sides, the evil you know, but if the evil you know is bad enough to get rid of, just get rid of him. See where the chips fall. That's my opinion, but...
Yeah.
Matthew Butts says, fake super chat, I could raise $65,000. If I could raise $65,000, I would run a libertarian against McCarthy, who is my rep. Okay. Do it. Start the human action, bro. Get on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that is a good amount. We will take a short break momentarily, grab another drink, take a pee, do what you got to do, and we will be right back after this quick word from our beloved sponsor, Asteros. Today's episode is sponsored by Asteros Cybersecurity Services. These days, organizations of all sizes are targets for cyber criminals, disgruntled employees, or even nation-state attackers. Asteros performs cybersecurity services, providing expert guidance to help organizations defend against threats and protect their data. Asteros specializes in penetration testing, where they perform ethical hacking on networks, web apps, or organizations as a whole to simulate what an attacker would do and plug the discovered holes before anyone malicious finds and exploits them. Asteros also specializes in vulnerability management, security awareness training, phishing simulations, cloud security audits, compliance readiness assessments, and much more. As technology expands, it becomes easier and easier to run a business. But if your security is not growing along with your company, then you're going to run into problems. If you don't personally have a company of your own, definitely pass this information along to someone who does, because for a limited time, Asteros is offering companies an attack surface audit completely free. Let Asteros discover potential entry points to your network and how susceptible your company or organization is to cyber attacks. To learn more and to take advantage of this essential offer, just go to asteros.com/free. That's Asteros, asteros.com/free. And we are back. Welcome back. Dave, how was your break? Did you do any traveling, see the world?
That was not a break. I need more time.
Hmm. It was enough break for you to mute yourself and forget that you were muted, though.
Yeah, bro.
Which you could have played off easily if I didn't call it out.
For you audio listeners, just so you know.
Dave's dumb. Sorry, guys. If it
works. At least I'm not corrupt.
That's true. At least there's that. Now, I do have, it's been a bit for this one, so I got to find the thing. I do have a listener submission or two that are a nice tangent here to get off on for a moment. And so that brings us to everybody's favorite segment, Freak of the Week.
This program was made possible by viewers like you.
You get what you f***ing deserve!
All your days are belong to us.
No one can stop us from enjoying this, so enjoy it! Stop crying!
That's right, it is the Freak of the Week segment where you guys submit weird shit, and we talk about it here sometimes when we feel like it. If you'd like to submit, go just send it to dan@tsidpod.com, or just go on and slide into my DMs on the twits @tsidpod, and I will try to not ignore you for too long. This one was submitted, it is from theguardian.com, so you know it's legit. GM corn set to stop man spreading his seed. Scientists have created the ultimate GM crop contraceptive corn, or as I call it, corntraception. Waving fields of maize may one day save the world from overpopulation. The pregnancy prevention plants are the handiwork of the San Diego biotechnology company Epicyte, where researchers have discovered a rare class of human antibodies that attack sperm. Hooray! We did it, you guys. By isolating the genes that regulate the manufacture of these antibodies and by putting them in corn plants, the company has created tiny horticulture factories that make contraceptives. We have a hot, this is a quote, we have a hothouse filled with corn plants that make anti-sperm antibodies, said Epicyte President Mitch Hein. Continued, quote, we have also created corn plants that make antibodies against the herpes virus. Nice. So we should be able to make a plant-based jelly that not only prevents pregnancy, but also blocks the spread of sexual disease, and it tastes great on a cracker. That part I added on my own. But, Dave, we're putting condoms in corn now. How do you feel?
Bro, this is not good for my rage.
Your roid rage?
But it's, and I know they're posing it as like, oh, on the horizon, we'll be able to do this. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure that they've been doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is probably the test balloon to like see how people will feel about it. But this is, was that movie Children of Men?
I don't think I've seen it, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Motherfucker hasn't seen shit. Go check that movie out. But this is just like all I could, this is just pure murder death cult shit. This is like when you're looking at the Matrix signal, you know, instead of the fucking picture, this is just death. And I hate it so much, and I hate these people so much. And there is no overpopulation problem. It's you are the carbon they want to reduce. This is just the worst.
Yeah. I feel like I missed an opportunity to also call this a Gates Watch episode because it seems right up his alley, and I'm sure he has something to do with it. So we'll end the contraception article with this.
The world today has 6.8 billion people. Now, if we do a really great job, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Gates Watch.
That motherfucker.
Yes. Now, we also have another fun one that has... It could have something to do with controlling the overpopulation, but not the size of the amount of people, but the size of the people. Now, there was an article, I don't remember if we talked about it on the show a while back, of a plus-sized airline passenger who created a petition demanding free seats because, sorry, I'm getting into the after party already. Free states. free seats because they are discriminated against. So this woman who clearly has her phone on a tripod. It's not at arm's length, but she still cannot manage to get her entire self into the shot. She did this thing a while back demanding that large people get a free seat on airlines because it's discriminatory that they don't fit in normal size seats. This is the old story. She's up to her shenanigans again. Think about that one as you wish. I personally think that it is very discriminatory for seats to not be large enough for every single possible human body type. And I think that the airlines are responsible for giving free seats to larger people for the same price, just like fat people should get an extra slice of pizza with their pizza because they want it as well, because it makes them feel discriminated that lacking slice is discriminatory against how much pizza they want. So, you got any thoughts on that before we move on to the update, Dave?
I hate that we affirm mental illness at every corner of life today. And this is why I'm not going to say bring back bullying, because that's not cool either, but I will say that there could be some blowback there. Like, no bullying might lead this bitch to thinking that she is entitled to an extra seat or two or extra free food because she's oppressed. Bitch, you're a white lady in America in 2023. You're the most privileged class of human to ever exist, and you're disgusting. And we should not bow to the fucking insane to remake society in their image. It's gross.
Well, I disagree.
Sorry, young.
Personally, I disagree. I think she's not only entitled to that extra seat, but she's entitled to an entire, just every single hotel in the entire country should spend millions of dollars making their hallways large enough for her to fit in. Here is her latest video.
More accessible, accepting, accommodating place for all. The needs of plus-size travelers matter just as much as anybody else. And today I'm going to cover what we are looking for in accessible, size-inclusive hotel amenities. Size-inclusive hotel amenities are crucial for ensuring that plus-size travelers feel welcomed, accommodated, and comfortable during their stay. We deserve an environment that respects our needs and body diversity. These are the exact steps that hotels can take to be more size-inclusive and accessible for travelers of all sizes.
I like how she makes it into a list. I'm not sure what that is. I like how she makes it into a list of demands, basically. Like she knows nothing about how hotels work, but she's just like, here are the steps that you can take, and these are just super easy steps, like making hallways bigger. That's easy. You can just do it for me because I can't fit in hallways.
Provide sturdy, wider chairs without armrests in guest rooms, lobbies, and common areas to accommodate different body sizes and types. Number two on the-
what does that mean? So she wants chairs to have no arms and be larger. Because she doesn't fit in chairs. Okay.
Ensure beds with strong support and a higher weight capacity.
So the beds need a higher weight capacity. If you are breaking the beds at hotels, that sounds like a you problem. A real big you problem.
You know who would love to hear her grievances, though? The federal government. And they would love... Just like the Disabilities Act and shit, dude. Like, you think they don't love to spend, you know, to make a local business spend $40,000 on a handicap ramp?
Right.
If you think that they won't love to, like, make the major hotel chains in America, like, listen to this crazy bitch, then you don't know the nature of your enemy. Because they will, you know, this is all about inclusivity and equality and... Yeah, you're right. This is, we can't treat this marginalized. Did you see her? She had a six pack of titties on her. Oh my God. Fuck. Look like a.
Sure beds.
Don't know where one boob starts and the other begins.
Sure beds with strong support and a higher weight capacity, along with providing reinforced chairs and wider bathroom facilities. Number three, make elevators and hallways.
You have something to say, Dave?
Yeah, those fucking, I want to be all up on all six of them titties. I want to smack them around.
It's like a win-win-win-win-win-win situation, you know?
Make elevators and hallways spacious to allow for easy movement of larger individuals and those utilizing mobility devices. Number four, install grab bars in showers and near toilets. Offer adjustable handheld shower heads and raised toilet seats for added accessibility.
Literally everything, every part of a hotel.
Tear this motherfucker down, build it to fit me, or I'm going to fuck you up.
There is nothing big enough to accommodate this woman, apparently.
Offer adjustable handheld shower heads and raised toilet seats for added accessibility. Number five, train staff to be respectful, understanding, and accommodating to travelers of all sizes. Number six, provide pool lifts and handrails at the entry of the pool. This will
provide forklifts and cranes at the end of the pool.
Number six, provide pool lifts and handrails at the entry of the pool. This will allow for plus size guests and guests with different abilities to enjoy all amenities.
Remove all diving boards, as I cannot get on that, and that's not
that's right. Reinforce the diving boards, just a firm plank of steel to hold me.
And sturdy chairs, ensuring that everybody can dine comfortably. Number eight, offer larger beds.
She said like chairs and beds like three times. I feel like she's running out of things to be upset about, but she's got to have a full list here.
Provide oversized loungers and seating at the beach and pool areas, allowing travelers of all sizes and abilities to be comfortable. Number nine, hotels should provide size-inclusive bathrobes. These should go up to a size 6X and beyond. And hotels should also provide bath sheets or plus-size friendly towels so that travelers of all sizes and abilities can use them comfortably.
Use another towel, woman. I'm sorry, but towels come in towel size. And 6X. Smaller people have to use the same towel as you, too. Are they supposed to make tinier towels for the small people and bigger towels for the big people? Like, you're just making complications for... You're not oppressed because you
because a bath towel does not dry you sufficiently. Grab another towel. They're free. It's okay. Okay.
This is an important one. Display clear and accurate information on these amenities on hotel websites. Include weight limits, seat dimensions, and things like that. And include information on the size-inclusive amenities available. This will help plus-size travelers make informed decisions. By implementing these size-inclusive hotel amenities, hotels can become more inclusive and accommodating.
So she wants to have everything labeled with how much strain it can hold up, like chairs that just say 250 pounds, and then she'll walk by the chair and be like, dang it, I'm oppressed again. Like,
right,
sit on the chair. If it starts to make a weird sound, it's not the one for you. Just keep walking. It's not going to hurt you to walk on to the next chair anyway.
Putting that kind of information on a chair would be a microaggression in and of itself. I would avoid that if I was one of these places. Liability and everything, you know,
it'll make it more obvious that all chairs are bigots,
bro. Six times XXXXL large, like the word extra. It's like, okay, it's like, okay, here's large. This should be the high end,
right,
of like fatness. But if you're like extra fat, you have extra large. I'm just saying, the fattest person in the world in like 1908 was not this chick.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about fucking GMO corn and doing all kinds of shit. Look what the fucking shit has done to human beings. Yep. You're not supposed to look like that. And you're definitely not supposed to have that kind of confidence, girl. You need to shut that shit down.
Yeah, it's okay to be large, but demanding that the entire world bend around you more than it already is, like, no. Just no.
Be sure to hit that follow button for more.
No. All right, we're done there, apparently.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful. Absolutely stunning. We've got a few fake super chats here that we can read before we get into Kennedy, and we're going to end on Kennedy. So thank you all. Thank you all for all this fun. Kate Paris, the lovely Kate Paris, says, fake super chat, we always get John McCain. That is accurate. Very accurate.
True.
Joey Two Guns said, the also lovely Joey Two Guns says, fake super chat, the 19th Amendment has consequences. Thoughts, also, Dave?
I mean, look, I'm not going to, just to be based, say we should abolish the 19th Amendment. But that's absolutely true. I mean, that's hard to argue. It has consequences. And some of them have resulted in anti-libertarian results. So
yeah,
that's a fact. So he's right.
And that's quite a side tangent that he's trying to force us onto. But we will not take the bait. Brian Kabinski says, fake super chat, provide cranes to hoist my fat ass into my room. Brian? You are right to request that for yourself, because
Brian ain't fat, man. He's like a little husky, but not even. Nah, he's fucking around.
Yeah, but
he just wants to be. He wants to be included. He wants to be a like a protected class.
Yeah,
can't. You're a white male, bro. Get in line with your privilege.
Yeah, but fat white male, right?
Like chunky. Fat-ish. He would at most be an XL, not fucking six of them, dude. You know what I mean? So I don't want to hear about him being.
How many
oppressed.
X's does it take to make a white male oppressed? Or is that a possibility?
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible, dude. You probably just get called a fat piece of shit if you're a white guy who's.
You hear that, Dave? Or you hear that, Brian? Dave just called you a fat piece of shit. Now, speaking of fat pieces of shit, let's talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Just kidding. I didn't have a transition, but we have to talk about him because he's doing some flirting. He's hitting on us over there. It seems this is from, I think it was originally from the New York Times, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. flirts with the Libertarian Party. This does come from DNYUZ.com. I don't know what it is, but I'm not paying the New York Times to read their article. So, let's talk about this a bit. So, We've discussed Kennedy at length here. You like him. He's like kind of your go-to guy as far as people outside of the Libertarian Party that are running, correct?
Sure. Outside of the Libertarian Party, yeah.
Yeah. Now, so according to this, for months, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said he plans to continue his long-shot challenge against President Biden in the Democratic Party, or Democratic primary, rather than dropping out to launch a third-party bid. But lately, Mr. Kennedy's message has seemed to shift, including publicly telling a voter who asked about his plans that he was keeping his options open. If Mr. Kennedy does decide to leave the party of his famous father and uncles to run in the general election. One potential landing spot may be the Libertarian Party, which at the moment lacks a widely known candidate, but has excelled at securing ballot access. Let's see. This is Angela's part. In July, Mr. Kennedy met privately with Angela McArdle, the chair of the Libertarian Party, at a conference they were both attending in Memphis, a meeting that has not previously been reported. Quote,
whoa.
Yeah.
Collusion!
Uh-huh. So some backroom shady deals here. Quote, he emphasized that he was committed. This is from Angela, I believe. He emphasized that he was committed to running as a Democrat, but said that he considered himself very libertarian, Ms. McArdle said in an interview, adding that they agreed on several positions, including the threat of the, quote, deep state and the need for populist messaging. Quote, we are aligned on a lot of issues. Quote, my perspective is that we are going to stay in touch in case he does decide to run, Ms. McArdle said. He can contact me at any time if that's the case. So she said, hey, I talked to him at one point and had nothing to do with any of this. But it does kind of sound like she was, you know, hinting at, would you consider a third party run? I don't know, because this sounds like a lot of nothing. She talked to him at one point and he said, yeah, I'm pretty libertarian. Okay. Now, he has announced that, or he's hinting at a big announcement that's coming up, I believe, on the 9th that he's going to make at a Pennsylvania rally. And
Philly, right down the road, bro.
Yeah. Are you going?
Probably not. I got a show that night.
Lame.
Yeah. I like him, but not that much to drive 40 minutes into the city.
Yeah. 40 minutes is all it is.
Yeah.
Jeez.
probably not even, but yeah.
I waited 40 minutes at Porkfest to see him. And then I only stayed for 15 minutes, but it doesn't matter. I don't know. There's a lot of people freaking out about this because, you know, Angela McArdle is clearly doing backroom dealings, trying to snipe famous Democrats to run for our party's presidential bid. What do you think, Dave? What are your thoughts?
This is awesome. It. I don't know how long we can spend on this subject, but I'm really interested in it. So, you know, I'm down to talk about it. First, I'll say that I doubt that Angela is trying to get him to run as a libertarian. But I do want Angela doing backroom deals with anybody that will help the party. Like, I don't care if she's talking to him in private. Right. In fact, I think that's cool and exciting. There's some cool fake super chats that are interesting. Travis put up one, talks about how it could hurt ballot access. If you know, people like me just say that, yeah, that's a dude that I would vote for outside of a Libertarian Party, yeah. That could hurt ballot access. So I hear that. That's like a legitimate concern if you're a Libertarian Party member trying to preserve that.
So you think it would hurt ballot access to have RFK be the guy?
Be an independent.
Be the guy? Oh, yeah.
So if he's an independent and we lose, you know, maybe a couple million votes that we normally get to that guy, you know, because that he will pull libertarians. He is known. He said that he would pull more from Trump than he will from Biden. And I tend to believe that. I know he, again, fuck the labels, man.
Right.
But he essentially is the anti-vax guy.
Yeah. The only one, aside from maybe DeSantis.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The Trump and DeSantis are trying to have the best of both worlds, but he actually is very clear, wrote a best-selling book on that. And the GMO corn shit. You know what I mean? He sued Monsanto.
The contraception shit.
Right. So, I mean, if you care about that stuff, pretty sure that's a NAP violation. By the way, if you put out some fucking seeds, corn seeds that castrate you over time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's something to be said about that. And if you're...
It's a private business though, bro. You don't have to buy
private business.
You don't have to buy the contraception seeds.
This is something that both RFK and Rechtenwald really get. And that is the corporate governmental collusion that is the regime. So that I'm attracted to that message. And if you're concerned about... they said Karen Ann did an episode talking about this too. Who I just saw today, you know, Josh Smith makes a big deal, and he should, about trying to achieve 5%. Mm-hmm. But she said if you get 5%, that we should not take the federal dollars that come with that, as if that's like some kind of like deal. Like, we're already making a concession, right?
Playing Josh this game. Said that and, too. Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, I'll say for the record that if we're going to play this game in political parties and we file all the paperwork and we pay all the fines and we do all the FEC shit and you're playing the game in politics, like to try so hard to get public opinion to the point where you might get 5% and then you do, and they have to make you like an equal participant. And you're like, no, keep that money. Like that's some dumb shit. I can't, I don't understand. I don't understand.
I'm torn. I understand the point behind it. It's a statement that they would be making saying we don't want to steal money from people, but that money's getting stolen either way.
They want to spend it $500,000 in New York though. They want volunteers to cough up $500,000 and all kinds of volunteer hours and go out there and knock on doors. They want that.
Right.
But they don't want to get some of the, again, like if you got a fucking rebate from the CARES Act,
right,
would you not take that? No, you would, because you've paid so much into this system that you can fight the state with the state. I'm pretty sure there's a Murray Rothbard article out there somewhere about that. Like this is, it's weird. We still have to have this conversation, but like, I don't understand if you're going to fight so hard for ballot access, like, for what? Like we should, if that's your point, we should not take that money and the ballot access is so important. We should not be a political party. We should just be a lobbying firm that lobbies on behalf of liberty. We should not care about that shit. So I want major party status like you guys do if we're playing the game. But when we get it, we're going to get all the benefits. Just like Trump said, yeah, of course, I pay as little amount of taxes as I possibly can.
Yeah.
I have people to handle my paperwork. That's the realm in which you are playing right now. So I think that's some libertarian autistic shit that I can't really get down with.
I tend to agree. I do. There's a part of me that respects the idea of it and the spirit of it, but also there's a larger part of me that doesn't and assumes if you're saying, if we get the 5%, we will not take the money. It's almost assuming that you're not going to get the 5% because I feel like anybody that was offered that sum of money would probably be like, that would really help my campaign, which would help spread liberty, which would help, you know, do all the things that we're pretending like we're doing here. So yeah, I agree with you on that. Sorry, good. Karen and Josh.
Common ground. Yeah. I told her I still love her and she's great. And most of her takes are great, just like Massey, but it's cool to disagree. We can, we'll move on.
Absolutely. So back to Kennedy. There's a lot of people who have issue. I kind of agree with, overall, I watched a little bit of Jacob Hornberger's take on this. It's like the first time I've ever watched Jacob Hornberger for his take on anything, but I did. Allegedly, he's running for president as well. But he put out a thing that was just like, if Kennedy ran to become the LP nominee, that would be the best thing for the Libertarian Party right now, because it would bring all sorts of eyeballs, all sorts of attention, all sorts of whatever. And also, if he got the nomination, it would be the worst thing for the Libertarian Party right now, because it would be, I mean, he said, because it would be, you know, sacrificing all of our principles, which there are some things that Kennedy's not great on. And I do think it would be sacrificing some principles similar to like a Bill Weld, not quite to that extreme, because the good that Kennedy has is a whole lot more good than the nothing that Bill Weld had to counteract his support of Hillary Clinton and such. And, I think there's a potential of it becoming a problem. I'm fine with him running, though. What I'm not fine with, of course, is that Angela would even hint at the idea of Robert F. Kennedy running when she immediately shut down the best candidate that the Libertarian Party has ever had flirting even with their stupid little party, Joe Exotic.
Wait, do I need to know about something that Angela said about RFK, like like she definitely wants him to run in the party or something like that, or that she's promoting him in some way?
Well, all we have to go off of, to my knowledge, is this couple of lines that the New York Times was really passionate about making seem like she's supporting him. And a lot of libertarians are also saying the same, where she said he emphasized that he was committed to running as a Democrat and considered blah, blah, blah. If he changes his mind,
he's going to
change his mind.
He will drop.
Hit me up. Like, give me a call, bro. I don't know. I think that Kennedy has something to gain from running Libertarian in our ballot access, obviously, that we have autistically obsessed about for the last 50 years. That's one of the few things we got going for us. And we would benefit from Kennedy running because he would bring a whole lot of eyeballs. Especially, can you imagine? I just want a debate between Kennedy, Toad, Josh Smith, Franzilla,
Fuck
yeah, let's go. I know he won't. He'll pull a, even if he ran, he would, I imagine he would pull a Donald Trump, which
and not show up for some of the debates, but that would be hypocritical of him because he has said the same about Joe Biden being a coward for not being willing to debate him. So I don't know. Any thoughts, Dave?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, this is red meat for me. So I will echo what Hornberger said. Like, I hadn't really thought about it like that. But if we are trying to get the message out, if we want promotion for the party, then that would be good, right? Just like that he's trying to run. But let me be clear with anybody who thinks that this is a good idea that he, I haven't seen somebody literally say, I want him to run as a libertarian. So point me to these people. But no, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. believes in wealth distribution, right? So he can't, like, there's some stuff, whatever. You can be open borders, closed borders, pro-life, yeah, pro-choice, but you can't be a libertarian and hold those values. So I don't see anybody saying that he should run as a libertarian. I think that it's really appealing for a lot of people, independents, third party people, libertarians included, that he's great on the most important issues. The COVID lockdowns, you know, contraception, the corporate governmental collusion. Like, this is the most important shit. So now, yeah, like I understand the appeal.
Let me read through a brief list here for you, Dave, just to see if I can sway. And like, I'm not here, I don't have a strong stance on any of this. I am curious to see where it goes and excited that there's even buzz about the potential. I'm here for the chaos myself. So even if I don't think he'd be the best candidate for the Libertarian Party, that doesn't mean I want him to be a candidate and possibly the candidate. But on healthcare, he wants socialized medicine. He supports Obamacare. On immigration, healthcare for illegal immigrants. He was asked, should local law enforcement be allowed to detain illegal immigrants for minor crimes and transfer them to federal immigration authorities? His answer was no. He believes sanctuary cities should be federally funded. Temporary amnesty for illegal immigrants, increased temporary work visas, which, I mean, that's debatable. Not all of these are, like, reasons for him not to, like, some of these issues are split for libertarians, so it's not necessarily disqualifiers, but things to consider. On domestic policy, he supports the impeachment of Trump and all that nonsense. He supports no carry for teachers, or does not support carry for teachers. Seizure of private property for public civic use. And he likes Juneteenth, which is another strike, because it's not real. Education, mandatory teaching of critical race theory, supports Biden's student loan forgiveness. The government should pay for partial tuition, blah, blah, blah. Environmental stuff, which he was like an environmental lawyer before all this. So government tax credits to wind power industry, and all the offshore drilling, no fracking, animal research. He wants to remain in the Paris Climate Agreement. Ban of disposable products that are less than 50% biodegradable. Science, he keeps funding NASA. That's strikes 1 through 12 for me. Foreign policy, he wants to remain in NATO, send more aid to Israel. Economic, he wants fewer restrictions on welfare benefits and universal basic income. On national security, he was asked, should the U.S. assassinate suspected terrorists in foreign countries? And he said yes, but only if there is undeniable evidence they are planning to attack our country.
Only if you're super sure about it.
Right. Well, unless if you're super duper serious about it, then we're coming for you. But if not, then no. So, yes. Second Amendment, of course, we know he's for... he was asked famously about his ban, about the idea of banning assault weapons, and he says, I'm not going to take away anybody's guns. Actually, let me try that again. I'm not going to take away anybody's guns, but if bipartisan bill to do so passed Congress, I'd sign it. So he's got a few things, and I think the 2A one is a pretty big one, especially, like, I'm not going to take your guns, but I'm not going to stop people that want to take your guns, and I support them doing it if everybody agrees. Concerning things, but I don't know. I trust him like I trust Donald Trump, quite frankly. Maybe sure. A little bit more. But
I think he might be working with the CIA, bro. His family has married into the CIA. And bro, I just went to a wedding for, you know, my main man Dan around here in DC. Bro, you pass Kennedy Boulevard, John F. Kennedy Street, fucking, like, they are royalty, like,
right,
like British royalty. Like, so yeah, I 100%, yeah, there's no reason to trust that guy. The only thing I'll say about many of those awful takes that he has is that they're his opinion, but the only thing that matters is public opinion. And you can't put the gun stuff back in Pandora's box. He yeah. can't, they might want to take a billion guns off the streets, but they don't have the ability to do that. At least not until the fucking AI bots are deployed, bro, and they know everything that's going on in your biometrics.
So like next year, like you mean? Next year?
Yeah, I mean, that could be coming.
At best.
but let's hope, though, if best case scenario, again, if he's CIA, this is all for naught. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine, I hope that he's anti-World Economic Forum. I hope he seems like he's anti-World Health Organization. That's good. That's at least keeping like national sovereignty. So it's yeah. it's not going in the worst direction. If those things are true, like he could be a servant of those guys and, you know, whatever, that's where we're heading. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think the COVID stuff, the anti-war stuff, he's pretty sure he's anti-Federal Reserve, right? Like there's some big things that we can point to and go, I mean, that's pretty good for a Democrat.
Right.
So if you can make the Democrat Party a little less malevolent, get them to let up on the gas, since if you are, you know, we make a big stink about how this is the progressive era for a century. It's like, okay, like just slow down.
Right.
Slow down a little bit. And I think that maybe when he says, you know, I'll take more from Trump, I think he's probably right. Like, because he appeals to some like conservative attributes. So could be some good there.
Yeah. And again, a lot of it feels like trust the plan 0.0. And
100%, dude. I'm with you there.
Like Donald Trump getting the nomination because he's like, I agree with you guys on this thing and this thing, and I'll pretend on the rest of these things and say what I need to say. Kind of feels like that, where he's like, I'm going to really focus on the things that you like, which is COVID, and not talk all that much about everywhere else that I suck. But most importantly, so all these things aside, like, what do you think should happen here? Do you think that Angela should continue trying to get him in? Do you think that libertarians should support this guy joining the Libertarian Party, and then we'll figure it out from there? My biggest concern is, like Jacob Hornberger said, it would be great to have him running, but it wouldn't be great to have him as the candidate. My concern is, I don't think there's a chance in hell, if he decides to run as a libertarian, I don't think there's a chance in hell that he wouldn't get it. Jacob Hornberger seemed a lot more confident that libertarians would never go for a guy that's so bad on so many things, but I don't think that's true. I think that if he even hinted at it, so many libertarians would flock to it immediately, just because he's our Donald Trump. He's our guy, our savior, whether we agree with him on enough things to even consider him a libertarian or not. What do you think?
I don't think that'll happen, dude, because I think I have my finger on the pulse of the people who are involved, like literally Libertarian Party delegates. You know what I mean? It's going to be 1,200 or 1,100 people who decide who the nominee is, not public opinion. It's right. going to be these people. And those people are mostly meacocks who, from my experience, are principled as fuck. And they
and
would
are
not,
currently split
would,
between Josh Smith and Michael Rechtenwald. So maybe another shakeup candidate might just split that even further. And then we end up with Joe Jorgensen 0.0.
But you know what? I don't know. I don't see that happening. And if I had my druthers, bro, Angela would do a commercial that you would produce, and she would come out and say, the Libertarian Party is starting Operation Infiltration. And you're not going to know. If you're Democrat, you're not going to know if the motherfucker next to you is a Libertarian. If you're a Republican, you aren't going to know if that guy next to you is a Libertarian. We're going to take over your parties. We're gonna run as you. You'll never fucking know. I don't care about labels, bro.
Yeah.
So this, if I thought that I would get more liberty, you know, with, if it's a, look, if it's Trump, RFK, Chase Oliver, I'm voting for RFK, and I will feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
That's same. A better choice.
Same.
Nobody's, there's two pro-vaccine assholes and one guy who might might keep it realer.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what's going to happen. So I hope the Libertarian Party, I've said this to the caucus, I've said this to the party, like if we don't run the show, then we fucked up.
Fake super chat from Tim Miller. Dave Casey for president. We're just going to start it. Like Dave tried forcing me into running. I'm just going to turn the table and revolt.
It should be you, bro. I'm Lil Wayne in 98. You know, you got to go first. I'm Drake in 2008. Like, yeah. You got to go first. And then I know my place.
we'll see if we make it to the next round. And yeah, for now, I think I'm good.
Thanks, though, Tim. That's nice of you to say, bro.
Also, Kate Paris says, fake super chat, way to fuck it up, Dave Smith. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking coward.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, no.
We may disagree on a lot, but we can all agree on fuck Dave Smith, you know?
Coward.
That's right. Okay. Speaking of a lot of libertarian shit, we have a lot more libertarian shit to discuss because the drama just overflows abundantly around here in Liberty Land, as we all know. Do you have anything else on RFK here, Dave? I don't have much to say until, like, I imagine after the announcement comes out. And first off, there's a part of me that thinks he's just going to run independent anyway, and none of this mm-hmm. is going to matter. He's not even going to mess with right. us because there's too much drama here.
That would be the thing that fucks up the third parties, yeah. and that's if he's the establishment, that's what he should do, is siphon yep. votes off for whoever Cambridge Analytica said you want to siphon votes off of, and that's how you'll run the House. That's yeah. how the establishment will run the House in 2024. But if you're a libertarian, do whatever you think's best, man. If you live in a swing state, think about it. If you don't, you know, vote your conscience.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We'll see what the announcement is. I suspect it'll be a big nothing burger that'll only hurt us. But we'll see. We'll find out together in the future if we all make it that far. Now, I think that's about it for here, but we are going to jump over to the after party in a moment, and we are going to be discussing, as I mentioned, the Free State trial, the removal of Jeremy Kaufman from the Free State... What is it called? Free State Project Board. And I love people on both sides of this argument. So you have to pay for the real spice to get our thoughts on that. But we're going to jump into that. Go to patreon.com.
I don't know any of them personally, so I'm going to rip shit.
Perfect. Yep. That's what we do here. I do know them personally, but that doesn't mean I will not rip shit.
I know. You're right. Keep it real.
Patreon.com/thesystemisdown is where you can get more and dark and spicy and offensive, and I burn all the bridges with all my friends. one final fake super chat. Travis Bost says, fake super chat, what do you think of the Twitter streaming? I don't know. I know that we are supposedly streaming on Twitter, and I've never checked it to find out if it's worth it, and whatever. It's there if you want to watch it. Yeah, that's enough. Let's go. Let's get. Dave, any final thoughts? Where can people find you? All the things? Anything to say before we kick out of here?
Yeah, please follow me on YouTube because that's the hardest one to crack. That would be great. And follow me on Twitter, Dave versus Goliath 1. That would be great.
And no final thoughts? We've talked about a lot today, Dave.
Look, yeah, there's lots of common denominators here, man. You know, we talked about the what is it? Contraception?
Contraception. Right,
we poke fun at the regime, but this is some of it's not funny, which is, so maybe it's like a coping mechanism that we do here. But damn, like, these are some serious shit, some serious enemies. I think that we are heading into darker times. So yeah. We need to band together and we need to work together and try and see through the bullshit, man. There's so much of it. It's all fifth generation warfare and it's all going on in your head because they don't have enough guns to hold you down like that. So, fuck all these people. I hate the state. If you don't hate the state, or if you do, hate it more because they don't get enough of
hate it harder.
Anger. Hate it harder, man.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin McCarthy, but you got to go, man. Even if your predecessor is worse. There is apparently a lot of fake super chats that I missed, and I apologize, but you didn't pay for them. So come join the Downers Club, and you can pay to say it again, and I will read it there, I promise you. Dave, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure, my dude.
Thank you, man. I missed it, and I missed you.
Me too.
And we will hopefully do it again very soon. But we are going to do it again right now. Thank you all in the comments section for being here and hanging out and having a great hump day with us. And let's keep the humping going over in the Downers Club. Patreon.com/thesystemsdown. You can find me at thesystemsdown.tv or at TSIDpod on Twitter or wherever the System is Downs are sold. And we will see you whenever we see you, which will hopefully be soon. Until then, please continue to question everything. Stay uncomfortable. And I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye. Welcome to the system, everyone's a victim. Doesn't matter if you're black or white, it hates you all. Here is how the system, violence is a symptom. Fighting for what's right, but somehow everyone is wrong.